My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
In life, some days are good, and some could be better. The same is true for recovery. Both take work. Both take adjustments. Finding your path is a key part of your journey, and then it's all about walking it every day. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Be open to every part of the journey and welcome it. It's unique, and it's all part of you. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
The game is over. And we're headed to overtime. 95-7, the game.
Well, it's August, so that means it's time for football once again here in 2024. And while the result might not be what the Niners were hoping for, it is officially a loss in Tennessee to begin the 2024 preseason slate. I'm just happy we have football and Niners football back specifically, which means overtime is back here on 95.7 The Game as well. Welcome in, everybody. Happy Saturday. Happy football season. Mark Randy with you. Sterling Bennett with you as well. If you're a dedicated listener to 95.7 The Game, you might have thought you had heard the last of Sterling Bennett, but no, sir, he's back. I'm back. It's overtime once again here in 2024. Sterling, welcome back to the 95.7 The Game airwaves. I wish that it could have been with a Niner win, but I'll just take it being Niner football in general. It's good to have Niner football back.
This is the best feeling, maybe outside of Christmas Day, when you see on your television screen the San Francisco 49ers are back. You can watch them live for the first time since a rather poor way to end last season. It's a renewed hope of, could this be the year? And albeit it was a loss against the Titans, it's preseason, baby. The Niners are back. I'm back, Mark. You're back, Mark. Let's run the whole thing back and let's end this season with the championship.
Yeah, what is it? Like what Michael Scott said in The Office, there's no doubt about it, I'm ready to get hurt again. That's how I feel going into another season of Niners football. I got the highest of expectations, but we've had those expectations before, Sterling. And while it's ended on a great stage, it's been a great season. So many awesome memories throughout the entire season. It has been painful. And I'm ready to get hurt again. I don't think I've... You asked me after the Super Bowl in February when you and I were on these airwaves for so many hours post-game dealing with our emotions. It's always difficult in that moment to have the optimism of the new season, but by the time the new season comes around and training camp comes around and now preseason comes around, it's all about excitement. It's all about gearing up once again, and it's trying to figure out who might some of the new faces be to help this team get to where they want to be. And there's obviously so many stories and there's drama and there's all these questions about things that are happening off the field right now, but it's nice to finally have a chance to get some on-field answers and maybe some on-field questions that we weren't expecting to get. There are some of both today, no doubt, Sterling. After one game, you didn't really see any starters, a couple potentially that you'll see maybe throughout the season. No big name guys played. Kittle didn't play, Purdy didn't play, Debo didn't play, of course Trent and Ayuk didn't play. But you have some guys who are going to be regular contributors to this team that played today and looked good. You have some others who maybe after watching what they did today, you hope that they're not major contributors because it was ugly at times.
There are a handful of players I'm already ready to trade away. It's not even the end of it.
And it's not
the game just ended. No, it's not. It's trade those guys to bring Ayuk back at this point. Trade their $1,000 salaries to give Ayuk whatever else he wants, because yes, he walked into today. It's our first chance to see the 2024 draft class. It was the first time to see, you know, heralded rookie Dominic Pooney. And I think overall he had a really nice game, but I don't think I would be wrong to say I left with a little more worries than I did certainties. We'll obviously dive into more of it and talk about certain positional groups specifically, but wasn't the greatest game for the 49ers defense is how I'll put things. And honestly, I'm just begging that a lot of the stars don't go down, because that depth is a mighty question mark at a lot of key positions.
Yeah, no doubt. And the final score was 17-13. Tennessee, they come out on top. The Niners played two quarterbacks throughout the entire game. It was Brandon Allen who played the entire first half. Looked honestly pretty solid. 7 for 13, 98 yards. There were a couple of deep balls that were dropped. I thought he did a good job there. Probably deserved to complete at least one of those. I thought he was a little better than those stats show. And then Josh Dobbs, the Pastronaut, played the entire second half. 14 for 20, 146 yards. No touchdowns and one interception. The interception was a Hail Mary in the last play of the game. So really, you can throw that out. I thought the Niners, Sterling, got pretty good quarterback play. J.P. Mason, Jordan Mason, played the first series of the game. That was the Niners' touchdown drive to begin the game. He was awesome on that drive, like gaining seemingly 4 or 5, 6 yards every single time he touched the ball. He scored the Niners' touchdown on that drive. You had an undrafted rookie from Mizzou, Cody Schrader, who came in and played running back behind him. Former Niner Matt Breida, now current Niner Matt Breida, he came in and played the majority of the second half. Didn't look very good, by the way. We can get into that.
Fumbled.
Yeah. Honestly, the offense, I thought looked pretty good, and the quarterbacks are the main takeaways there. But you're right about the defense. This group, this unit, the second string, third string, fourth string, however it turns out, they could not tackle really throughout the entire game, Sterling. They missed so many tackles. Tony Pollard, who is going to get a lot of carries for the Titans this season, coming over from the Cowboys, you know, they played more of their starters than the Niners did by a mile. But Tony Pollard, not a big back, not known for breaking tackles. He ran over a couple of 49ers throughout this game. It was not the best tackling day for the Niners defense, top to bottom.
Well, and it's not just running through players. It's D. Winters and Jalen Graham and a lot of young linebackers over-pursuing some young defensive backs, not really knowing where to be and then getting caught flat-footed like, what am I supposed to do here? And they're young. It's the first preseason game. We're not going to come on here and hammer every single player. They haven't tackled someone since February. So it's been a long time. And so you can definitely tell there was this, like, I'm really excited to get my hands around somebody, but also I'm really hesitant to do it. And, you know, Malik Mustafa being one of the bigger ones, where a lot of great stuff, fourth down stop, this runs over the linebacker or the running back, and you're like, yes, that is what we want. We want a playmaking safety that can just lay some wood on a running back. But then there's some times where he bites on play action, and you're like, you have to balance the instincts. Even D. Winters, who had a heck of a game, arguably maybe the best defensive player on the field today, got caught in between sometimes. So obviously we're going to give these guys a couple weeks to get their feet wet and back into the rhythm of things. But ultimately, I don't think Nick Sorensen leaves today necessarily happy with how the defense executed and finished plays. That's my biggest thing. They're flying around. They're quick. They're fast. They got energy. Got to make plays, though. If they're not making plays, none of that matters.
Yeah. Yeah, no, you're right. And, like, result, like, you don't really care. I mean, obviously, you're on that sideline and you want to win the football game. No one is losing sleep over a loss in the preseason. You're losing sleep over individual plays and effort and lack of execution, not thinking through and taking a bad route to make a tackle. There was one moment, I think it was a play in the first half, might have been in the first quarter, right after D. Winters made a great play in the backfield. He then over-pursues against Calvin Ridley, the highly paid wide receiver for the Titans. He over-pursues him and ultimately leads to like a 15 yards after the catch for Calvin Ridley. He's not an easy guy to tackle. Like, this isn't like D. Winters can't make it in the league because of this one moment, but it was a bad angle. Over-pursue, got a little bit too over-eager, and then he got caught out, and Calvin Ridley turned what should have been like a 7-yard gain into like a 25-yard gain. And then on that play, D. Winters kind of got chopped from the side and was down for a little bit. And I don't know how you felt when you saw that live. I was worrying, like, oh my God, did the Niners just lose another linebacker for the whole season, potentially?
Yeah.
He came back up, and he's fine, and he played at least for the rest of that first half. So it was just a scare. Nothing bad there. But you're right. I mean, there's moments where D. Winters looked incredibly awesome, and honestly reminded me a little bit of Dre Greenlaw when you're watching him out there with his energy and how he shoots between tackle or would-be blockers to make a tackle, and he's quick, and he's aggressive, and he's eager, and he's all those things. But then there's one play where, you know, he makes just a bad read, and it costs the team 15 yards. Those are the areas where the Niners, I think I said lose sleep earlier. You're not going to lose sleep over that, but you're going to identify that in the tape. You're going to look at it tomorrow with D. Winters, and you're going to say, hey, you made this mistake. It cost us 15 yards. That won't happen again. And that's when we, a week from now, look ahead to preseason game number 2 and see if those sorts of things don't happen anymore for someone like D. Winters, who has a chance to have a big impact on this defense this year.
Well, and that's the thing right there, is that there are so many positions open. Linebacker 3 with Ayuk being out, maybe receiver number 3, cornerback number 3, starting strong safety. There are so many positions that young players can step up, whether they're year number 2, a sophomore, or a rookie, or they're a vet coming in. There's so many positions that this team truly doesn't know what they're going to do there yet. And you hope that Mustafa is your starting strong safety, and you hope that it's Isaac Gaden and Renardo Green and D. Winters. But the reality of it is it really could be Demetrius Flanagan Falls, who didn't play today.
Yeah.
It could be George Odom, who didn't play today, or didn't play much today. It could be veteran pieces that you're like, oh, that's fine, you're more of a stopgap. The hope is that these young guys come in, revitalize a defense that, again, has some holes, has some questions, but ultimately, it's like, man, like, the Niners, they're in a really great position to win 10-plus games and go to the playoffs and go back to the Super Bowl, but ultimately, you could argue that if these young guys don't step up, a lot of the wins and losses this year could hinge on what they do. And with how today played out, it's a little scary. But ultimately, once you get Fred Warner back in the fray and you get all these vets back in, they'll be able to cover up some of those issues, and you hope that once you can get the young guys playing next to vets like Fred Warner and company, they'll raise their game as well.
Yeah, no doubt. 888-957-9570. It's Overtime, a preseason edition of Overtime here on 95.7 The Game. I'm Mark Randy, Sterling Bennett with me as well here on Overtime after the 49ers open their 2024 preseason with a 17-13 loss in Tennessee against the Titans. Give us a call, shoot us a text on the Xfinity Mobile text line, 888-957-9570. What stood out to you about this Niners performance today? There's a couple of names that come to mind for me, Sterling. It's one that we've already touched on. Indy Winters, Malik Mustafa is the guy that you brought up. That stuff on 4th and 1 from just outside the goal line when the Titans had the ball, were driving in that first half. Mustafa was the player who was furthest away from the line of scrimmage at the time of the snap, furthest away from the line of scrimmage. No other Niner was further away than him. him, and you texted me, it's like he's shot out of a cannon, just explodes on the football, doesn't even allow the running back to get back to the 1 yard line, to gain 1 yard to get the first down. He came from that far away to make that kind of play. He's like a safety, but he's plays like a linebacker, and the Niners have had players like that before, and they've had good success with that kind of player. And that one play, Sterling, that one play piqued my interest. I know we've been hearing a lot of good things about Malik Mustafa throughout training camp. I think so much of that hype kind of got confirmed on that one play that he made down near the goal line. That was awesome.
During the draft process, I was with Dan Devone. It was draft day, I think number three. And it was like a weekend where it's like the fourth through the seventh round and no one really cares. You're kind of doing your own thing, and you're going shopping with the wife, you're running errands, and you come back home and you see, okay, who did we draft today? Well, I told Dan when they picked Malik Mustafa that this guy, you could argue that in year one, when it's all said and done, could be the best safety on this team.
Oh.
He could be better than Talanoa Funga and Jair Brown. And all due respect to those guys, they're great players and you hope great things for them. But Malik Mustafa is, if he clicks, if it just fits the, you know, if his puzzle piece fits the grand scheme of things and the picture they have for him, he's going to be a star. Now, it's one game in the preseason. How much can you make of that? You know, that's crazy to say, but the makeup he has, the way he plays, this linebacker-safety hybrid of attacking the ball, the worst he can be is a playmaking safety to get the ball back for an already loaded offense that hopefully is going to have McCaffrey and Debo and, fingers crossed, Brandon Ayuk back in a few weeks.
Yeah.
Like, when you have players like that, you're going to score a ton of points. And Malik Mustafa is going to be a key cog in this defense to help the offense score even more points if he can be what we think he should be.
Well, I mean, there's legitimately an opening for him to start, potentially, to play a lot at safety. I mean, you got Jair Brown, who's, I think, penciled in probably as your starter week one. He played the entire second half of last season once Talanoa Hufanga went down with an injury. But beyond that, Sterling, you have question marks because you have Hufanga still recovering from that injury on the PUP list still, correct?
Yes.
Yeah. So,
which he should. He's getting reevaluated this week, I believe. So could be good news coming soon from him.
But even if he comes back and he's officially off the PUP list, who knows how he responds to practices and to playing in a preseason game potentially? Let's say it's not Talanoa Hufanga, Sterling, at least week one. Your other options to start alongside Jair Brown are George Odom, Malik Mustafa, Taylor Hawkins. Like, and it's probably going to be either George Odom or Malik Mustafa. Like, those are your options to start alongside Jair Brown. So if, for whatever reason, and I'm by no means rooting for this, you want Talanoa Hufanga to be available every single game, but if Talanoa Hufanga is not available week one, there's a pretty decent chance, Sterling, that you see a lot of Malik Mustafa. Maybe the Niners go the veteran route. And
from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
America's favorite place to watch football is Stadium Swim, located at Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas. Catch all the biggest games at a viewing experience built for sports fans. Chill in one of their six pools on three different levels for a perfect view of their massive screen. Plenty of seating options from cozy day beds to private, temperature-controlled cabanas. Stadium Swim. Book your spot today at CircaLasVegas.com.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience because Purple mattresses are made with a gel flex grid. The gel flex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the gel flex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid collection that combines GelFlex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
In life and recovery, every day is a little different. Embrace the good days, the not-so-good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
And choose to play George Odom because you do have a young Jair Brown alongside him at the other safety spot. But there's at the very least going to be a lot of snaps for Malik Mustafa, potentially early in the season.
And he's just too good not to play, even if it is, you know, three safety sets, even if it is, you know, being that quasi-third linebacker playing in the box while Jair Brown and Tracy Walker or Odom play in the back end. Like, the way he plays, his play style fits this scheme, and it fits how Nick Sorensen wants his safeties and his playmakers to be like. You don't set a guy like Mustafa on the bench for 2 or 3 years and hope they pan out. While, yes, a player like Talanoa Hufanga sat for a year behind Jaquiski Tartt, there's nobody in front of Mustafa currently. Now, there could be if Hufanga comes back, but ultimately, this is a great opportunity for a young player that on a bad team would definitely start year one and day one.
Yeah.
But on a really good team that should have a top 12 defense again this year, if not higher than that, to really make a statement and plant his flag on a position.
It's a little like worrisome, though, if the Niners going into week one are playing Jair Brown and Malik Mustafa, a guy who combined have what, like 10 starts under their belt in the NFL? Like, that's a little troublesome in today's passing NFL, right? Like, you go into week number one with those two guys as your safety, it's nothing against them, and they could turn out to be great pros, and we're obviously very encouraged by what we've seen from Mustafa so far, and I think Jair Brown, at least for me personally, was a pleasant surprise the way that he filled in for Hufanga. It wasn't perfect by any stretch, but honestly better than I expected. Doesn't mean that I think they're bad football players, but you're kind of playing with fire a little bit if you have not one, but two young safeties as your two starters back there.
You are almost begging to get beat up top at least 3 times a game.
Yes.
Those guys are going to bite on play action 3 or 4 times.
Yes.
You're gonna see Trey McBride running over the top with his hand up like, Kyler, hit me downfield.
Please, I'm
wide open. And you're like, why are we down 13 to the Cardinals?
Marvin Harrison just running a go route and running right past a fellow rookie. I mean, that's possible.
And you know, that's unfortunately where they're at because of injury, but I also think that with young players like Jair Brown, you saw him progress and learn quickly as he got more reps in the defense next to Tashaun Gibson. Whereas Mustafa, I think, while isn't going to have that luxury of being across from Tashaun Gibson or Hufanga, I do think the more reps he gets, the faster he'll play, the smarter he'll be. He'll know when to bite, when to not bite. And again, I do think if you can get one or two rookies, hopefully it's D. Winters and Mustafa, around these vets that are former All-Pros, Pro Bowlers, they can kind of hide them, and it's going to kind of, I don't want to say hide their mistakes, but it'll definitely minimize the bumps and bruises they're going to have to take early in their career.
Yeah. Yeah, it's Mark Randy, Sterling Bennett with you here on Overtime on 95.7 The Game. The 49ers fall to the Titans 17-13, preseason game number one on the road in Tennessee. What stood out to you? What worries you? What'd you see from Malik Mustafa, from D. Winters, some other youngsters that are getting some real run here in the preseason? Shoot us a text or give us a call. We'll take your calls, every single one of them, throughout the night here on Overtime. 888-957-9570. We're also keeping an eye on our YouTube chat. powered by First NorCal Credit Union. You can shoot us a message that way, youtube.com/957thegame. I see Sterling is in the chat already. If you want to get in and say what's up to Sterling and everyone else, get over there. I see Filmo is in there, Lori Matthews, Zen, Andrew, and some others. What's up to everybody? Lori's talking about, Sterling, exactly what we're talking about. Rookies can make a splash in year one. Just look at the entire rest of this Niner roster, which is filled with veterans right now, but those veterans played a lot when they were youngsters. The one thing I will fire back at Lori with Sterling is a lot of these current veterans that played when they were youngsters were playing on a team that didn't just lose the Super Bowl the year prior, and the expectations for the team back then versus this team now, just a little bit different.
Right. Fred Warner played on the 2018 team, which may have had a better record had Jimmy Garoppolo gotten not injured. And then you have Nick Bosa, who was in 2019. The team wasn't supposed to be as good as they were in Dre Greenlaw. But, you know, ultimately, I think where things stand is, well, yes, it's probably better for a rookie to learn when the team is bad and grow into them being great alongside the rest of the roster around them. This is a team that can hide a rookie. It's like last year, Jair Brown, it was like, oh my goodness, Jair Brown's playing. And the first game, the first snap he plays, he gets beat by the Buccaneers deep downfield. And you're like, oh my goodness, like our season's going to be ruined because we can't protect the back end. But now he grows, he picks off Mahomes in the Super Bowl, and you have high hopes for him now, and he's growing into a leader. So, well, yes, again, there's going to be bumps and bruises. They're going to have to take their lumps, and there may be a time they do cost you a game or so. They do, you know, cost you a big touchdown late in the game. There's also going to be a time where you hope week 10 through hopefully the Super Bowl again that they've grown into a really great player that can actually help you win games instead of being a player that maybe cost you games.
Yeah. Yeah, and like you're right. Like this is the team. They have the talent, and let's assume that they stay relatively healthy, and you don't have to, fill in too many holes throughout the entire season. This is a team that, as you said, can survive playing a rookie in a spot or two here, even if maybe the experience isn't great and they're maybe not quite performing up to the level you want them to. This is still probably a team, Sterling, that can survive through moments like that and weather those issues. And then maybe you look by the time week 12, week 13, week 14 comes around, those players that you entrusted, you know, big moments too early in the season, and maybe they weren't great, they take that step forward, and then suddenly you look ahead to the second half of the season and potentially into the postseason, and maybe it's similar to a Jair Brown, as you talked about, who had an interception of Patrick Mahomes in the Super Bowl. You look at that as an experiment, a moment that allowed you to get better, and suddenly you're a better team in the second half of the year than you were early in the season because you were patient enough with some of those youngsters and allowed them to get that seasoning, and they don't feel totally like a fish out of water when the second half of the season comes around.
And it's not just on defense, too. Look at the offense. The offense right now, while is loaded, you have, of course, Debo and Chris McCaffrey and George Kittle and hopefully Brandon Ayuk and Juwan Jennings. There's still roles on the offense that rookies can step up. Dominic Pooney, who has taken training camp by storm, who was thrust into the first team reps when Burford went down with a broken hand and John Feliciano hurt his knee, and he hasn't given up that spot since he took over. And when you're a third round pick, the third highest offensive lineman drafted under Kyle Shanahan and John Lynch, the expectation is you are going to perform in year number one. And it seems like, again, it's first week of preseason, he's latched onto that role of starting right guard. And if he can solidify that, San Francisco could really have a rookie starting at right guard, which, if you look back the past 5 years, has been the position that has ultimately cost them two Super Bowls. Mike Person in 2019 and last year in Spencer Burford. If Dominic Pooney can step up and be the man and pick up stunts and pick up blitzes and blocks, which he did today really well, San Francisco could have a solidified right guard position for the first time really under Kyle Shanahan. Whether it's Daniel Brunskill or Burford or Feliciano or Person, this is could be the first time they have a starter play all 18 games and so on and so forth, which, by all means, if that's the case, sign me up. I'm tired of watching Person and Burford blow blocks by Chris Jones. Just sign me up for the Dominic Pooney push, whatever Tim Ryan called it on KTVU today. Whatever it is, sign me up.
Yeah, by the way, I will say, you saying that he's the third highest drafted offensive lineman in the Kyle Shanahan era is not really saying that much. I'll just put
it's not.
Because this team refuses to draft offensive linemen in the early rounds. We do, though, have a little bit of news coming out right now. Kyle Shanahan speaking with the media postgame in Tennessee after this loss to the Titans in preseason week number one. One of the I don't know how exactly to put this. One of the more disappointing performances of the night, Sterling, it was cornerback Ambry Thomas. He was getting beat left and right in the first half, and then right as halftime sounded, as the buzzer went off for halftime, he went off the field and he eventually got carted off into the locker room at halftime. Kyle Shanahan has confirmed that it is a broken forearm for Ambry Thomas, and he'll be sidelined indefinitely. So the first major casualty for the 49ers in the preseason, Ambry Thomas, a broken forearm, out indefinitely. It's rough.
I mean, to not be rude to Ambry, he's had up and down career, right? He thrust into a starting role as a rookie. He wasn't supposed to play, and he struggled really bad.
Had the interception that sealed he did. Going to the playoffs.
You're right.
We forget about that.
There was a point in time where we were talking Ambry Thomas, the next star cornerback in San Francisco. Give him some time. And honestly, it seems like he's just kind of trickled down the depth chart every single year, to a point of last year, you know, Mark, me and you were there on Christmas last year drinking Martinelli's, and I was eating a whole loaf of bread trying to stay ready for the show. And
I remember
we watched
that.
The Niners put out Jason Verrett trying to find some depth to replace Ambry. And of course, Verrett gets injured again and just not very good. And now we're sitting here, and there was no promise Ambry Thomas was going to make this team. You can argue that he was likely going to be on the roster bubble and maybe not even make the team at all. But, man, it's a tough break for a young player that has seemingly found his career just on a downward trajectory. Last year, you hoped, and it seemed like Steve Wilkes had kind of unlocked something in him early, and then he was really bad down the stretch to a point of, in the Packers game, he was playing off coverage. You're like, Ambry, you got to play press. Yep. They're eating up underneath. And the same thing happened today where he gets called for a holding call in the end zone, and it would have stopped the Titans at the goal line. And, you know, it just unironically, and not the words I want to use, but a tough break for a young player that you just hoped would be able to find something. And honestly, was a player that I was kind of hoping San Francisco could trade elsewhere, because I do want Ambry Thomas to play. He should play elsewhere. He's a young player that... Take Minnesota, for example. They need help playing cornerback.
Yeah.
Ambry could flourish in Minnesota, get the reps he needs, whereas in San Francisco, he's buried, and now he's probably not going to play almost the entire year.
Yeah, broken forearm for Ambry Thomas, and he's sidelined indefinitely. You're right, though. I mean, it hasn't ever really been smooth, and you're talking about kind of, I think a lot of what happened last year was kind of blamed on Steve Wilkes, kind of the lack of connection and cohesion between the front end and the back end of the defense. And it was, all right, we're blitzing, but all of our defensive backs are playing kind of relaxed coverage. They're playing off of them. They're giving the wide receivers cushions. And on a blitz, the quarterback is going to have to get rid of the ball quick, which means you need to press, get up on those wide receivers. And that happened a lot last year. And I think like the common logic was, well, Steve Wilkes doesn't really know exactly how to work this scheme, and it's not great. Fire Steve Wilkes and hope it works out. And I think it'll probably be better. But you're right, and you pointed out there was that thing. The same exact thing happened to Ambry Thomas today, Sterling. The Niners blitzed. Ambry Thomas was playing soft. He allowed for an easy completion over the middle part of the field. I don't know if it went for a first down or not, but it went for a decent chunk. And that's just the kind of disconnection you can't have on a team that's trying to win the Super Bowl. I don't mean to rag on Ambry Thomas here the day that he broke his forearm and is out indefinitely, but that is something to keep an eye on as this defense tries to get used to a new coordinator now with Nick Sorensen. But that was an issue last year, and it caught my eyes tonight because it's something that we thought maybe we'd be done with after last season.
And I'm not going to lie to you, Mark. I mean, me and you texted during the game, and we both said after Ambry played so poorly, we're going to flame this kid. He looks terrible right now. And you know, now I feel terrible bringing it up because of what happened. But it's like for Ambry and even the secondary as a whole, it wasn't a great game. The flat was opened the entire game for Tennessee. Now, I'm not sure if Nick Sorensen put the game plan in that way. There was miscommunication, so many young guys in, no tackling. It just felt like there was this reacclimation process happening. But again, there's rookies, there's vets trying to push for a roster spot. No one's on the same page, and that goes for Ambry Thomas and linebackers like D. Winters and Curtis Robinson. Jalen Graham was not great tonight at all. There was no pass rush. Just felt like the defense was in their first, I guess you could say, you know, live action, if you will, with Nick Sorensen at the helm.
Yeah.
It wasn't the greatest showing, and it really wasn't the performance you want. And now it's kind of, you know, capped off by Ambry Thomas breaking his forearm.
Yeah, so that's the news of this game, other than, of course, the loss. But it's preseason. You're not really going to get too worried about wins and losses. 17-13, the Titans win. Niners had some things to be excited about, some things that they got to get worked out. That's normal for a first preseason game. But the biggest news is the Niners' cornerback depth perhaps tested a little bit. I know you were talking about Ambry Thomas being on the roster bubble. Who knows if he was going to make it anyway, but he does break his forearm late in the first half in this game against the Tennessee Titans. He'll be out indefinitely. Now where do the 49ers go from here? It does seem, Sterling, if we're looking for any kind of good news, that seems to be really the only kind of major injury, if any injury that the Niners had.
Yeah.
There was the scare for D. Winters in the first half where he was down on his hands and knees. I immediately had flashbacks to Dre Greenlaw in the Super Bowl. He got up, walked off, jogged off under his own power, came back in the game, so he seems fine. Bad news for Ambry Thomas. We wish him the best. Hope he recovers and heals as quickly as possible. But if you're looking for the bright side of things, Sterling, one full preseason game, 60 minutes of preseason football, that one injury, and it wasn't to a guy who was projected to be a starter or play probably that many meaningful snaps for you, it's not the end of the world, as bad as you feel for the guy that it happened. The Niners can certainly survive that one, and it's good that that's the only one that happened.
Well, and going back to the conversation we had earlier about younger guys stepping up, it seems like the top three guys are solidified at this point. You have, you know, Mooney Ward and Diamador Lenore, go Ducks, obviously, Grandy.
Yes, sir.
And then you have Isaac Yiadom, who you think is penciled in to be your CB3, but then there's younger players now that have maybe already done this, but certainly have now usurped Ambry Thomas on the depth chart. Bernardo Green, this year's second-round pick. Daryl Luter Jr., a fifth-round pick of last year who didn't play much. Samuel Womack is still here. So, again, this feeds back into San Francisco is going to need younger guys to step up. And now with Ambry Thomas going down, albeit not the biggest loss in the world, you didn't lose Fred Warner, right? But, again, more room for young guys to step up in pivotal roles on this defense.
Yeah. Yeah, no doubt. And you look at what the Niners did today, they didn't really play any starters specifically on the defensive side of the ball. I mean, you look at, Sterling, what you expect this starting group to look like come week number one. I guess Jair Brown played. Jair Brown is probably going to start, I would imagine. That was really the only defensive starter that played. Leonard Floyd did not play. Malik Collins did not play. Javon Hargrave did not play. Nick Bosa did not play. Fred Warner did not play. Devondre Campbell did not play. Charvarius Mooney Ward did not play. Diamador Lenore did not play. So we can rip our hair out for any number of these players that made a boneheaded mistake or all this. The reality is, Sterling, the talent that makes this 49ers defense one of the best in the NFL, and maybe it wasn't last year, but why you hope that it can be back there near that pedestal this coming season, no one played today, so we don't got to overreact to that much. But as we talked about, there is room for youngsters to fill in here and there, and who knows? We don't hope that it happens, but there's probably going to be an injury or two at some point, and you're going to need to rely on someone that maybe you weren't quite expecting to rely on at some point this season. So we can dive more into that coming up on the other side. We got to get to the offense as well. You shouted out Dominic Apuni, who started at right guard and maybe is going to be this team's week one starter at right guard. We got to talk about him. Some other focuses on the offensive side of the football. Who's going to be the running back two behind Christian McCaffrey? Elijah Mitchell did not play. Is J.P. Mason, does he have a strength on that running back two job? We can talk about that. Also, there's some crazy wide receiver fights going on this depth chart. We can get into that. Not real fights. depth chart fights, job fights going on, battles.
Let's throw in hands.
We can get into that coming up on the other side as well. A ton to get into. We're just getting started on overtime here on 95.7 The Game. It's Sterling Bennett, Mark Randy with you. Week one of the preseason is done for the Niners. They fall in Tennessee, but plenty to be excited about. 888-957-9570. More overtime coming up next on 95.7 The Game.
Back to overtime with Sterling Bennett and Mark Grandy on 95.7 The Game.
Welcome back. Yes, it's overtime. That must mean it's football season once again. Just the preseason for now, but we are close. We are getting close to week one, Monday night football, Niners and Jets, the 9th of September. Woo. We're now on the 10th of August, Sterling. We're less than a month away from Niners regular season football. Ooh, we're getting close.
Hey, Rodgers, discount double check. I can't wait. Monday night at Levi's, Frank Gore going into the Team Hall of Fame. The legends are going to be out. Patrick Willis just got into the Pro Football Hall of Fame. I mean, I know the Brandon Ayuk drama's out there, and we just lost the preseason game, but my goodness, I'm riding high on the Hall of Fame right now because San Francisco's got some legends that are going to be honored on Monday, week one of the NFL season, in prime time. What else could you want?
And nothing more than that, other than a win. Just get a win. Week one, Monday night football. Get a win, and we'll all be good. Yeah, the Niners open with the Jets, then the Vikings and the Rams. Jets are at home, Vikings, Rams on the road. Then you return home, Patriots, Cardinals. You go to Seattle. You got the Chiefs and Cowboys at home, back-to-back weeks. Something I didn't quite realize, obviously, we've known the opponents for a long time, and we knew the home and away opponents for a while as well. Then the schedule kind of got laid out, obviously, and you know when you go on the road, when you're in Seattle, when you go down to LA to take on the Rams and all of that. One thing I didn't quite put together as I was going through the schedule until recently was you got some awesome home dates this year. Like, you got some, you have the Jets, you have the Chiefs, you have the Cowboys, like, you got the Lions again, a rematch of the NFC Championship game at home. You got the Bears.
The
Bears, Caleb Williams, who looked, kind of fine, good in his first preseason game.
You mean he looked like Patrick Mahomes 2.0, is that what you mean?
I mean, I don't know. what did Patrick Mahomes look like in the preseason, his rookie year, or the year he was going to start? We didn't know about Patrick Mahomes until week one when he just exploded onto the scene.
Whenever I see him or hear his name, I just see red. I get so angry. I just never want to hear it. See him again.
Yeah,
it's to a point. He's like the vein of my existence. Like, why are you in my life? I hate that you're here, Patrick. I hate it.
I imagine you saw the Raiders with the Kermit Patrick Mahomes puppet that they brought to training camp. I'm sure it's not going to go over well for them.
So apparently a fan brought that to training camp. The Raiders didn't make it. But what's worse is that Raider players go over there, they play with it. It's like, why would you poke the beast? I'm pretty sure the Raiders were the team that, like, went to the Kansas City midfield market Arrowhead and were, like, dancing on it and having a good time. Then Mahomes beat him for, like, 35 points. And it's like, what are you doing? If there's anyone you don't taunt, it used to be Tom Brady. Now it's Patrick Mahomes. Don't even look his way. Don't look his way at all. Don't poke the beast, Raider fans. Please don't.
If memory serves, the Raiders are the last team to beat the Chiefs. That happened last year, right? Yeah, the Raiders on Christmas Day. That's right. It was the Christmas Day game. You were just talking about Niners Ravens on Christmas. Raiders in Vegas beat the Chiefs 20-14. Then the Chiefs won their final two games of the regular season. And then, of course, we know what happened in the playoffs when they won four games in the playoffs, including that one that happened also in Vegas. We don't need to go into that. But
flashbacks.
Yes, I'm sure that it's not going to end well for the Raiders against Patrick Mahomes. Do not poke the bear, as you said. But the Niners today didn't really do much poking. They lose to the Titans 17-13 is the final score. score. Don't really care too much about wins and losses in the preseason, but as we were talking about in our first segment, Sterling, plenty to dive into on individual players and performances. And if you're just joining us, the major news out of Tennessee for the Niners is Ambry Thomas broke his forearm, and Kyle Shanahan said it'll be a while. So indefinite absence for Ambry Thomas, where we weren't even totally sure if he was going to make the roster. One guy who we definitely do know Sterling is going to make the roster. Oh, a couple of the guys. I mean, this could go for a whole number of ones. But the one I'm going to focus on...
53 to be exact.
I think Christian McCaffrey is going to make the roster this year, Sterling. The one that I'm going to single out here is potentially Christian McCaffrey's backup, Jordan Mason, who I know has been getting a lot of run as potential RB2 in training camp. He got the start in this game, preseason game number one, played one drive, six carries, 34 yards, that's about six per carry, and got a touchdown. He was awesome with the ball in his hands. He was running angry. He consistently fell forward. No one was pushing him backward. After contact, he was always getting an extra 2 or 3 yards. He's looking like a legitimate running back in the NFL, Sterling, and I know we don't want to overreact to just one preseason game, but honestly, what we saw from Jordan Mason running the ball is what we've seen from him every time he's run the ball, even in regular season NFL games. It's maybe been some of the other things that have held them off the field, whether it's pass pro and picking up blockers, or maybe it's a little bit of pass catching that hasn't been his strong suit. But if he is getting better at those other areas, we know the running ability is always there, Sterling, and it was certainly there today. That one drive, by far the Niners' best drive of the game, led by JP, Jordan Mason.
There's always that one, maybe two players every preseason you go, wow, they're the preseason MVP. I can think back to my youth, and Thomas Clayton was a big one. Every single preseason he had like 300 yards rushing. Oh, he's going to make the team and be an impactful player. And then it was always the Frank Gore show, rightfully so. Then a couple years later, I think maybe towards the end of the Harbaugh era, it was like Capri Bibbs. Where's this guy? Oh my goodness, what's going on? And you're like, they never play. Whereas Jordan Mason, the last three seasons, every time he gets the football, he's always impactful, whether it's 5 yards a pop here, being the closer on a Thanksgiving night game in Seattle. I mean, Christian McCaffrey, who, again, is the clear RB1 of this team, offensive player of the year and Madden cover superstar, mind you, he has a firm grip as a starter, clearly. But he himself called him the Mariano Rivera of the running back room, which baffles me as to why, when, again, the reigning offensive player of the year says that, and one of the greatest offensive players in the last decade of football says that.
Compares you to the greatest closer of all time.
And Kyle doesn't get the clue of, maybe I should play this guy more. Go back to last year in Cleveland. Jordan Mason has a touchdown run, a long one, mind you, and it's like, why do we continue to play the Elijah Mitchell card? And it's no knock against Elijah. He had a phenomenal 2021 as a rookie, and it was like, wow, you know, who is this kid? But, you know, running backs' lifespans aren't very long in the NFL. And Jordan Mason, I think, really can be the thunder to Christian McCaffrey's lightning. Now, the thunder shouldn't hit very often, but he can be utilized in a way to, whether it's on 4th-and-1 or 3rd-and-short. You know, my mind harkens back to 2021 against the Rams in the NFC Championship game. Instead of giving the ball to Kyle Juszczyk, give it to Jordan Mason. He'll give you something and maybe have a first down and you win that game. It's small situational stuff where I can see him being a really impactful player. And you know, he's improved the hands this year, albeit dropped the pass today, which wasn't great, but it happened. And you hate to say this, but it does aid him in his pursuit of the RB2 position when Elijah Mitchell's hurt. Isaac Arendo, fourth-round pick, is also injured, and Cody Schrader and Patrick Taylor Jr. and Matt Breida didn't do much. Like, he is a clear number two on this team behind Christian McCaffrey and should get the ball more than he ever has in his career this season.
Yeah, it's kind of an awkward discussion because while you always want to have a capable RB2, and it seems like Jordan Mason can be that guy, and I think everyone is rooting for him to be that guy, the other side of it is, Sterling, when you have Christian McCaffrey, I hope I basically never see Jordan Mason. I mean, obviously, you need to spell McCaffrey every once in a while, and you kind of have to protect McCaffrey from himself. I know Herm Edwards has said that about Ricky Pearsall, and we can talk more about the running back room in a little bit. But focusing on Jordan Mason, if you're a Niner fan and you want the best for this Niner team, you hope that Jordan Mason doesn't ever get 20 carries in a game. Or if he ever does, it's last game of the regular season because you already have the one seed wrapped up and you don't need to give McCaffrey any unnecessary touches. But you hope for another fully healthy season of Christian McCaffrey. He's dealing with an injury right now. Shanahan has already said he's not going to play in the preseason. Should be available for week one, but we don't really know that for sure. It doesn't seem to be that serious, but not going to play in the preseason. Why would you need McCaffrey to play in the preseason anyway? You want to have a good backup. You want to have a good RB2, and he's going to get touches every once in a while, and throughout the game he'll come in for a few snaps here and there. But you don't want it to be a situation where you have to really find out if this is a guy that can be your lead back for an extended period of time, because, Sterling, that means the Madden cover athlete goes down with an injury, and you don't want that.
Right, but even then, so let's be under the assumption that the best workload for Jordan Mason is around three or four carries a game, maybe five. You know, that's kind of the sweet spot for him. McCaffrey touches the ball 20 times a game. Mason, you know, comes in for relief a few times. But I don't think I'd be too insane. You don't have to lock me up in an asylum somewhere when I say this, that the Niners, by not playing Jordan Mason, could be keeping a really impactful player on the bench. Like, when I think of Jordan Mason, really great tandems in the backfield, my mind immediately goes to LaDainian Tomlinson and Michael Turner when they were the San Diego Chargers. Well, you got your LT and Christian McCaffrey. Now, Michael Turner was a 10-year pro, went to Atlanta, had an amazing career, and it was a really impactful player. I think it was a leading rusher for a few seasons. He was phenomenal.
Yeah.
I'm not saying that Jordan Mason is Michael Turner 2.0, but he can be something like that, where if you have to give McCaffrey a breather, goal line situations, you want to keep McCaffrey healthy for 18-plus weeks, but Jordan Mason's right there. Use him, Kyle. Use him.
Yeah, I mean, I want to see him, and he's good enough to get a handful of carries, but I don't want to ever get into a situation where I feel like he better perform or else we're in big trouble, because that means something happened to Christian McCaffrey. Now, there is the balance that you have to strike, and I know you and I talked about this a lot last season. A team with the 49ers' expectations and with the goals that this unit has, obviously goal number one is win the division. And for this Niner roster, that's almost like, I don't want to say given, but it's almost as if you don't win the division.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
America's favorite place to watch football is Stadium Swim, located at Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas. Catch all the biggest games at a viewing experience built for sports fans. Chill in one of their six pools on three different levels for a perfect view of their massive screen. Plenty of seating options, from cozy day beds to private, temperature-controlled cabanas. Stadium Swim. Book your spot today at CircaLasVegas.com.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a gel flex grid. The gel flex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips, and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the gel flex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect Purple for you, and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
And life, some days are good, and some could be better. The same is true for recovery. Both take work. Both take adjustments. Finding your path is a key part of your journey. And then it's all about walking it every day. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Be open to every part of the journey and welcome it. It's unique and it's all part of you. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be. To be.
It is a colossal failure. Like, you have to win the division. That's goal number one. Goal number two is then to get to the one seed. And that's obviously much harder, and you need some other things to go your way, and you barely had it work out for you last year. You had some help. There was the late season collapse by the Eagles, which helped you out a ton. You, of course, contributed to that collapse. You went into their building and you dominated them, and that was kind of the beginning of the end of the Eagles. But you have
those bums.
those bums. We'll see how they are this year. But obviously, I mean, the Lions are really, really good, and they might be fighting you for the number one seed as well. That's goal number two. And goal number three is to win the Super Bowl. I guess you could throw in win the NFC and then win the Super Bowl, but that's where the Niners' goals are. You kind of have a checklist, and every once in a while, you're checking another one off that list, and you're not going to be satisfied until you finally check that last one off your list, and that is win the Super Bowl, and that's the one thing this team has not done yet. And when that's your goal, Sterling, you kind of have to pace yourself. I'm sure you watched all of Receiver, the new Netflix documentary.
Yes.
It was really difficult for me to watch the final episode because we knew what was going to happen in the Super Bowl, and I kind of forgot about it when it was happening. And obviously we knew the injuries that were going on throughout that game, but watching the Receiver doc and seeing George Kittle go up to Kyle Shanahan and say, in the fourth quarter and overtime of the Super Bowl, I can't play because I can't even move my arm because my shoulder is so messed up. And then you have Debo fighting through everything that he's going through. Like, you kind of forgot just how banged up this team was. And that's not unique to the Niners. Every team that plays that deep into the postseason is going to be banged up, even when you have the two weeks between games, between the title game and then the Super Bowl. You're still going to be banged up. My point, and it's very a long-winded one, my point is, Sterling, when you play that deep into the postseason and you know your goal is to go that deep, you got to do everything you can to try to keep everyone as fresh as possible, and some of that is potentially maybe thinking about limiting Christian McCaffrey's touches when you can. We talked about that so much last season. I'm not sure it really happened all that often. Maybe it could have happened a little bit more, but that's kind of the catch-22, because when you're trying to limit McCaffrey's touches, you're also just taking the best player in the game out of the game when he can just be in the game and help you win. So it is a catch-22, but if the Niners have the ability to keep some of their stars as fresh as possible, it might pay dividends down the end, and that's perhaps where J.P. Mason's value comes in for the 49ers, in keeping someone like McCaffrey as fresh as possible deep into the winter.
When it's not like he has to be off the field entirely. You can put him in the slot.
True.
You can put him outside. You can use him as a decoy. And Shanahan is smart enough to be able to utilize Christian McCaffrey as just that. You don't have to make him the primary ball carrier for 25 times a game. Yes, you want to give your star players the ball all the time. Hence why you want Debo touching it 8 to 12 times a game. And you want Kittle more involved. And that's why Niner fans scream and yell when Debo Samuel's injured. Why are you not feeding George Kittle? When, like, it all makes sense, and you know, I think Shanahan gets it. He said it during the OTAs and training camp period of, you know, we do have to save Christian from himself. We want to keep him fresh, and whether that is, and to be honest, the easiest way to do so is to limit his touches in between the tackles. Now, he's phenomenal in between the tackles, but the last thing you want is for a smaller player like Christian McCaffrey, who is very durable, mind you. You don't want 300-pound linemen rolling over his legs. How many times did we see him being twisted and turned? And you're just like, oh my goodness, how is he still walking? Is he okay? But he hurt his neck in the playoffs last year. And you're like, oh my goodness, Christian, are you okay? And he had calf injuries late in the season. They haunted him in 2020. It's not like McCaffrey's bulletproof. He can't play every game and be 100% every single game.
I mean, the story,
when you know that.
The story before he was a Niners Sterling was this guy can't stay healthy. Like, that was his, that was what his career was boiling down to at that point.
And I think that right there should be incentive enough. While I do think the injuries are kind of, they are very not stuck in 2020. They can be isolated to that time period, though. But we already see now, he has a calf injury. He's going to miss 3 weeks. And when you have preseason calf injuries, albeit he said he can play if this game was meaningful, the last thing you want to do is, okay, Christian, go out there for 30 carries a game, 25 carries a game for 18 straight weeks. That's not how you preserve your stars. You have so many of them already, you shouldn't be getting injured, but we all know Garrison Hurst against the Falcons. One wrong cut, wrong guy, you know, falls on you, snapped your legs, and your postseason hopes are over. You have to keep CMC healthy, and Jordan Mason can help you do that.
Last year, Christian McCaffrey, you're right. There were so many moments where all of every single Niner fan out there just held their collective breath. Because there were so many awkward falls and tackles and plays where big, big guys rolled up on McCaffrey and he goes down in kind of a heap for a second. But then McCaffrey, like nothing to happen, just pops right back up and he's good to go. Like, I know so much of McCaffrey's career has kind of been centered around his injury history. I know a big part of that is kind of the fantasy football world where you wonder, can I draft this guy? Is he going to be healthy for 15, 16 games this year? Like, I got to know. Am I worried? Am I going to draft someone that's going to get hurt week two and then I'm going to lose my season because of that? Obviously, a lot of that is just how we think of football in a fantasy viewpoint. But last year, Sterling, McCaffrey had kind of like that LeBron James aura to him where he'll take like hard foul, hard contact. He'll fall down time and time and time again. And I know a lot of Warrior fans here, you think of LeBron as a flopper. LeBron and his longevity and his inability or his just simply never gets major injuries. One of the best characteristics of LeBron and what makes him so good. That was McCaffrey last year. Hard contact, hard hit, scary fall, time and time and time again, and was unwilling to come off the field. I remember after the Thursday night game on Thanksgiving in Seattle, his then fiance, I don't know if they were engaged at that point, I think they were, his then fiance posted a video of him or just a picture of him on social media. And he's got bruises like head to toe. And I know that's not new for any football player, but this is a dude who literally will just play through that kind of pain every single week. And when you have a guy like that, it might be in your best interest to, you know, usher along your young RB2 and get him a little more touches and carries. And it's obviously easier for Shanahan to be willing to do that, Sterling, if you have a guy that you are confident in. And maybe it's just as simple as the Niners not being terribly confident in their options last year. Maybe with what J.P. Mason is doing through training camp and early in the preseason so far, there's a little bit more confidence there. And then maybe that makes the calls a little bit easier on Shanahan's part.
Well, I hope so, too, because Jordan Mason isn't just this kind of ground and pound, put your head down and bowl through people. He can certainly do that, as he's shown every single time he gets the ball, but he's quick. He's shifty sometimes, but I don't even think it really is just a running back issue of how can you preserve your stars, because it doesn't just stop at Christian McCaffrey. It goes to Deebo Samuel as well, and unfortunately, as things currently stand, they'd walk into 2024 with Deebo Samuel as receiver number one and then Juwan Jennings as receiver number two and then a whole lot of question marks behind them. And you know, after watching today's game, albeit no Ricky Pearsall out there, I think Chris Conley made the best case of anybody to be this team's receiver number four over Jacob Cowling. And again, once Pearsall gets back, we'll see. He hasn't made a preseason debut just yet, and he's been hurt the last week or so. But Chris Conley, going back to last year, Week, what, 18 against the Rams had a nice game and carry that over into the Super Bowl. And arguably, had Juwan Jennings not had two touchdowns, including a catch and a pass, Chris Conley was the team's MVP to me. He was phenomenal in the Super Bowl.
Wild.
And like today out there, he looked like a veteran player that can contribute to a receiver room that has a lot of questions. Do you trust Danny Gray and Ronnie Bell and Trent Taylor and Tay Martin? The answer simply is no, I don't.
Well, Danny Gray can't even get on the field. He's hurt.
Did he even play tonight? Yeah, you're right. Oh, my goodness. I hate to bring this back up, and it's definitely a drafting issue, but when you say Danny Gray didn't play tonight because he's hurt, and then you're going to Ambry Thomas breaks his forearm, those are two third-round picks. And you're like, oh my goodness, the third round is cursed. It's cursed. Like, what is going on with the third round? But ultimately, going back to our real conversation about receivers and preserving McCaffrey, this team needs vets to step up, whether it's Jordan Mason, Elijah Mitchell, and honestly, Chris Conley, again, really stood out and has the entire training camp period of, you know, he may not be the biggest name, but he's played in KC, he played in Jacksonville, and now in San Francisco. You know, we are looking at Chris Conley almost being a lock for this roster after just one preseason game.
Yeah, the running back room is going to be really interesting, and obviously so much of that hinges on what happens with Brandon Ayuk. We can talk a little bit more about that next hour, and we can certainly dive into the running back room. You're talking about third-round picks and some of the issues and mistakes, or maybe just simply bad picks in that round. I don't want to bring our mood down a little bit here, Sterling. And there's obviously one pick in this draft that saves it and might honestly make it one of the Niners' best drafts ever if it continues on this trajectory. Okay. But if you just take off that one pick, the final pick of this draft, the 2022 Niners draft, Sterling, it is ugly. Oh, my God. I'm sure you know all these names. I'm going to read them off for all of our listeners. The 2022 49ers NFL draft, it might go down as, like, the worst draft ever until Brock Purdy happened. So the 49ers don't have a first-round pick. They draft Drake Jackson with their first overall pick. Had that incredible start to the season. And then three sacks against the Steelers. And then it seemed like didn't even play the rest of the season. He's already been ruled out for this entire season. Drake Jackson out for the year. Second overall pick for the Niners in 2022. It was their first pick of two in the third round. Ty Davis-Price, no longer a 49er. Then Danny Gray can't even get healthy for the first preseason game of the year. After that, Spencer Burford, who you just laid out.
Okay, that's fine.
Yeah, not terrible. Not terrible.
Backup offensive lineman, that's fine.
You're looking at a guy who might get beat out, and obviously he's dealing with a broken hand right now, but maybe would get beat out by a rookie, not first round, not second round pick this year. That was a fourth round pick a couple of years ago. After that, Samuel Womack. We've thought for a couple of years now, maybe Samuel Womack could be your nickel corner. I don't think he's getting that spot, Sterling. I don't know how you feel about that. He's not sniffing that spot. After Samuel Womack is Nick Zakel, offensive lineman. I wouldn't blame you if you don't really know who Nick Zakel is, because all he does is play in the preseason, and that's about it. After Nick Zakel, okay, this is actually kind of an okay pick. Khalia Davis in the sixth round.
Is it, though? Is it?
He was good
played
today.
The last 2 years.
He was good today.
Preseason against the Titans, Marcus, is that big of a deal, man?
Khalia Davis. After that, Tariq Castro-Fields, a corner in the sixth round.
Commander's legend, baby.
Yeah, he's not a Niner anymore, right? He's elsewhere. Okay. And then the last
they
pick.
They cut Tariq Castro-Fields, his rookie training camp, and the Commanders took him. He didn't even make the team.
That's the draft through 8 picks. First 8 picks, Drake Jackson, Ty Davis-Price, Danny Gray, Spencer Burford, Samuel Womack, Nick Zakel, Khalia Davis, Tariq Castro-Fields. You missed on practically all of those picks, at least up to this point. And then you get saved by Brock Purdy, Mr. Irrelevant. If it wasn't for Brock Purdy, Sterling, we would be talking about the 2022 NFL draft for the Niners as one of the worst drafts in the history of drafts. It has been so bad.
All I can say is, despite that terrible draft, to reference the Highlander, hey, there can only be one, baby. And if it means Brock Purdy is the one, I'll take it. Because that man's about to get $325 million, according to Bill Barnwell, and a massive record-breaking quarterback contract. And he's going to lead this franchise to hopefully not just one, but two, but three. But hopefully, if he can just get the first one, Super Bowls. Because Brock Purdy is the man. Although he didn't play tonight.
Oh, God. Jeez.
What a terrible draft.
Those drafts just absolutely disgusting. We hope that this 2024 draft is a whole lot better. We can talk about some of those draft picks. Ricky Pearsall did not play. Hopefully he gets back and is healthy. Renardo Green played. We can talk about him on the other side as well. Dominic Puny, we talked about him already a little bit. He looked good, and he might start at right guard. Malik Mustafa, we talked about him. Garendo did not play. Cowing did not play. We saw Tatum Bethune come in and play out of Florida State. He was the Niners' seventh-round pick. Maybe he has a chance to make this team. We'll see. But the 49ers lose preseason week number one in Tennessee. Final score 17-13. Some good, some bad. The major bad news for the Niners is one of their corners, Ambry Thomas, has broken his forearm. Kyle Shanahan says, quote, it'll be a while. So an indefinite absence for Ambry Thomas with that broken forearm. But other than that, the Niners get off relatively injury-free. We can talk more about everything coming up on the other side. 888-957-9570. That's the number to call. It's also the Xfinity mobile text line. 888-957-9570. And we're keeping an eye on our YouTube chat as always. YouTube.com/957TheGame. Powered by First NorCal Credit Union. It's Sterling Bennett, Mark Randy with you. One more hour of overtime to go. The first overtime of the 2024 season. More coming up next on 95.7 The Game.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be. To be.
Recovery from addiction can take many forms, and quite often, it's a team effort. For those in recovery, having support often leads to a better outcome. And for those supporting people in recovery, they celebrate every milestone. Here's to family, friends, loved ones, healthcare providers, and community groups who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. If you or someone you know is experiencing addiction, visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose to learn more about the various treatment options available.
There's sports betting, and then there's Circa Las Vegas, an adults-only sports watching nirvana. Now you can watch up to 19 games at the world's largest sports book on a 78-million-pixel, three-story mega screen. Plus, it's always spectator season at America's largest pool amphitheater, Stadium Swim. Stadium Swim is open 365 days a year and features all sports on an epic 143-foot screen. Book your reservation at CircaLasVegas.com. Circa Las Vegas, this is sports the way it should be.
Nerds. Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Ready to expand your financial game? NerdWallet can coach you on smart strategies like choosing investments, finding your next credit card, and setting a budget that works for you. Score major points towards your summer vacation by learning expert tips for choosing a high-yield savings account and how to build wealth by investing in index funds. Slide into summer with smarter decisions in 2024. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast on your favorite podcast app. Future you will thank you.